Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is August 25th. And do you know what that means? It means that there are exactly 4 months until Christmas. Just putting that out there. It also means that there are 3 months and 4 days until Black Friday. You know, Black Friday, the most holy shopping day for Americans who camp out days before just so they can be in line first to burst through the narrow doors of the retail temples to score the best deal. And why do they do it? Because they know what other people may just shrug off, that the prices on the products will not remain low for long. Once the goods are sold out, well, you're out of luck. So get in line early, plow through the doors, push, shove, and step on, if need be, to fill your carts, because this offer won't last long. Some of us like waiting, like the camping out and waiting in line, or at least the getting up and out to the store as early as possible. They like the thrill of the hunt, so to speak, but others would probably prefer to stay in bed or do anything else than to be stuck in a frenzied crowd, pushing and shoving, struggling and striving with others, trying to find the best deals on TVs or toys or the latest gaming systems. You have seen, if not personally experienced, the news footage of people doing just that. So I ask you, what does this have to do with Jesus? Well, nothing and everything, I suppose. I mean, when we find Jesus, he certainly wasn't going shopping in the text, and he wasn't speaking to the people about prices on televisions. He was, however, surrounded by crowds of people as he was exhorting them not to miss out on a limited-time offer, so to speak. See, Jesus was resolutely heading to Jerusalem. His eyes were fixed, his face was set, his feet were carrying him ever closer to his goal. He was on a mission. He was on an exodus. Just like the Israelites of old journeyed with their eyes fixed on the promised land, so too was Jesus set on his goal. He was heading for the cross. The purpose of his journey was to bring all who believe in him to a land of promise as well, the promised new earth under the new heavens where sin would be no more and God himself would be in the midst of his people, as even prophesied by Isaiah. The purpose for which Jesus walked was for your salvation. His glory was in his suffering and death to bring you forgiveness and life. He walked this road, took this journey, because he knew that, well, that you couldn't. You and I have much more in common with the Israelites of old, who, though on a journey, ended up taking wrong turn after wrong turn. Kind of like a dog chasing a squirrel, you and I easily run after whatever catches our eyes. Fame, fortune, goods. But not so with Jesus. His face was set on Jerusalem, and his eyes, they were fixed on the cross. And along the way, he called and gathered others to follow him. Now, some walked closer with him as friends and disciples, and others walked and followed along because, well, they were just curious. And along the way, Jesus taught. And when a teacher teaches, well, students question. Someone asked, will those who are saved be few? Maybe that's a question that has been on your mind as well. Will those who are saved be few? And see, Jesus, the good teacher, doesn't give a yes or no answer. Instead, he says, you all, or the new, or the NTRV, that is the New Texan Revised Version, reads, y'all. Y'all who are following me, as I go to Jerusalem, and all of you who are gathered here today, strive to enter through the narrow door. Strive to enter, for the door will be shut at some point. Strive to enter, for those who you might expect to enter will not be there. Others whom you do not expect to enter will. So don't worry if the number of if the number of those who will be saved are few. Y'all strive. What does Jesus mean to strive? Well, our experience shows striving as our effort. Strive to get the best deal on the TV. Strive to do your best in school. Strive to labor hard at work. Strive to eat healthy and work out at the gym. All good things to do as you're focused on things of earth. Your work here, more often than not, requires your striving. But this striving is not concerned with things of earth. This is about things of heaven. Strive to enter the narrow door, not the mall or retail store of your choice, but the narrow door of the kingdom of heaven. Was Jesus telling the crowds of people to strive so that by their own efforts they follow Jesus? Is Jesus possibly telling all who hear him to work hard, pray hard, and give much, and by your own efforts enter the kingdom of heaven? No. The striving Jesus is talking about is one of repentance and faith. It's that simple. Strive by repenting of your sin and looking in faith to Christ. Strive like the Apostle Paul strove with his flesh in Romans chapter 7. This struggle is internal and it is spiritual in nature. It comes as you hear God's word. God says things like, "Don't covet." But I say, "Oh, I want it. But I can't afford it. But you know what? I'm going to get it anyway. I don't care." But wait, no. This is going to harm my neighbor. It would put me in debt, and it would affect my family in a negative way. Yeah, but I want it. And I really have to have it. No, Lord, help me. Forgive my sin of coveting. Let me hear again your forgiveness. Let me taste again your body and blood shed for the forgiveness of my sin as I recline at the table of your altar. See, this is the type of striving Jesus is talking about. And here's the thing. This striving is God's work in you. It begins in your baptism. You are marked with a cross upon your heart and your forehead as one who is redeemed by Christ the crucified. You have journeyed with Christ to the cross and to the empty grave. You have now entered through the narrow door of Christ's death and his resurrection, and from that point on, the struggle and the striving continues. We're baptized and we are taught that through the law we become conscious of sin, Romans 3:20. And by the Spirit, we confess, you know what? Jesus is Lord, not my own thoughts and my desires. And there's struggle. For as we've been baptized and we hear God's word, the Holy Spirit is at work in the struggle and the striving with our sinful nature. Now, sometimes this striving is about a particular sin, something that comes up maybe once or twice or a handful of times in our lives, something that we are embarrassed by, ashamed of. Sometimes the struggle comes about because we have developed a deep habit of sin and we grow weary in the striving because it just never seems to end. And sometimes we just feel like the struggle is all around us, not because of anything specific, but because we are a sinful people who live in a sin-sick world. But see, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't leave you alone to struggle. You never strive alone. And if you are striving with sin, it is because the Word is doing His work. The Holy Spirit is bringing what is wrong to light, to wrestle it back to the tomb, and to bring you to Christ where you may find rest. The Holy Spirit leads you to confess your sin, yes, but also to believe the Word of God, which forgives your sin. The Spirit opens your eyes of faith to trust that when Jesus journeyed to the cross, when he took that exodus, it was so that he could forgive your sin. His face was set on Jerusalem, his eye was on the cross, and his heart, his love, and his forgiveness, that was all fixed on you. and it still is. As you strive, you do so with Jesus at work in you, striving alongside you. Right now is the season of striving and struggling. Now is the season of repentance and faith. You know, the door will be shut on this striving at some point. The offer to enter in the narrow door will end. The master of the house has a day when the door to the feast will be closed. Just as the offers on Black Friday won't last long, so too will the time to enter the narrow door, well, it'll come to an end. This offer will not last forever. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, for who knows if tomorrow will come. Jesus urgently desires all to come to the table and find forgiveness and fellowship with him. But sadly, not all will enter. So here at last, Jesus gives an answer to the question, will those who are saved be few? As Jesus doesn't say yes or no, he also doesn't give numbers. He says simply, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. Who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Who will live under the rule and reign of God here in time and there in eternity? Who will come to the table in fellowship with the King of creation? The last or the least. The poor in spirit and the lowly in heart. Those who recognize that they have nothing to bring to the table but their hurt, their sorrow, and their sin. Those who come with empty hands, looking in faith to God for mercy and for grace. In the gospel accounts, these were the fishermen, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sick and the suffering, the women and the children, and yes, even the Gentiles. These were the least, the last. Not in God's eyes, but in man's. Then the first, so to speak, not in God's eyes, but in man's, were the religious, those who had much and relied on their blessings, the ones whom from an outward appearance seemed to have everything. But these were the ones who did not strive against their own flesh and sin after hearing God's word. They may have known about Jesus, but they did not know Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus was journeying to Jerusalem for them. They didn't believe that his exodus is the only one required to enter into the land of promise. They didn't believe that this offer would come to an end. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, where does that leave you? Well, you're here today, and I hope and pray that your presence in this place means, well, that you're striving. Confessing your sin, seeing your need for God's grace and mercy, and looking in faith to Christ to forgive and to strengthen faith. And this is what it means to daily live out or remember your baptism. Look around. You can see that you're not alone. You sit beside brother and sisters in Christ who are also striving. They are saying the same thing that you are concerning their sin. And you all, y'all, are hearing the same word of absolution. You come side by side at the rail to receive the same Christ. That's the purpose of this place, these words, and the meal that Christ has instituted for you, so that he'd be with you in the midst of your striving to feed you and to encourage you and to give you a foretaste of the banquet that is still yet to come. And I hope and pray that you share this account of Jesus with others, starting with your families, but not ending there. For the invitation is for them and for all. And it may be through your words and actions that they hear and see as the Holy Spirit does his work, that they too may strive to enter the narrow door. For the Lord has fixed a time when the door to enter the kingdom through repentance and faith will close, and the banquet in its fullness is served. It might be 4 years from now, that might be 4 months from now, maybe tomorrow, maybe even today. So until that great and glorious day, strive. Strive, confessing your sin and trusting in Christ. Strive, confident in Christ, who is on the journey with you, striving with and for you. Strive, for this is the day of salvation, and this offer won't last long. Amen. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our coming King. Amen.